God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in DC, let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. Could have done all of that. God instead spoke words. He said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in the world, remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I welcome you to A Disciple's View, and I thank you for being here. And I thank you for supporting this radio network. You create something uncancelable. And that's so vital. And I know we talk about this during fundraising. And I'm in fact going to be in my first fundraiser with you guys next month and be interacting with the other hosts, which is going to be nice. So I want to thank you for creating something that you alone can cancel through lack of support, or you alone through God's gift and gifts of what you're allowed to steward can help grow and sustain. And that's going to be vital. Because the Supreme Court of the United States somehow needs to think about a case that, maybe it's just me, it doesn't require much thought. The Supreme Court has halted an order that blocked the Biden regime from contacting social media firms with the intent of banning speech. And this is a life and death issue. For real, it's a life and death issue. It's not just speech. You know, we wrap the show up by reminding ourselves that in the beginning, the Word was with God and the Word was God. That says something so vital that, of course, God's Word will not pass away. The things Jesus Christ taught us shall not disappear. And they used words. Freedom of speech. I am constantly amazed that the God of the universe allowed people to argue with him. I mean, just think of this. Not only did God take on human form and feel hunger and cold and pain and witness people attempting to diminish him, to shame him. He was beaten. He was flogged. We know all these things. And yet, I don't think we spend enough time thinking about these things. Up to and including that point, he allowed the very humans he created to mock him, although God will not be mocked. It's a conundrum, isn't it? He didn't strike them down. He could have. Only in a few instances in the Bible did he render people mute. And yet, our Supreme Court has to think about whether the government can deputize so-called social media companies to shut us down. This requires deep thought. Now, if these were publications, such as this radio network is it's an audio publication. In this case, you, as the funders and the people who run this through your largesse, your charitable giving, you propel free speech, but you also provide accountability. Therefore, there's a selection process as to who gets the honor of being on this network. I'm still honored to be here. And there's employees who speak, and there's shows that they syndicate, and there's a screening process. But social media companies get to pretend there's no screening process. They get to pretend under Article 230 that they're simple platforms. They're not publishers. Therefore, they can't be sued when someone goes to their pages and issues threats or libels someone. Well, this network can be, because it's a publisher. So the Supreme Court needs to think really, really hard. Can the government go to social media companies and tell them to ban speech? This is a simple question. Is there a precedent for this? There's a phrase in federal law called a joint state actor. This is when a company takes on a deputized role of the government, a joint state actor. Oh, did I mention it's life and death? It is. It's life and death because this just past week, the FDA and CDC, both of them pharmaceutical companies, just with different business models. The FDA's business model is they take 40% of their funds from pharmaceutical companies. The CDC's business model is more obvious. The scientists at the CDC are in a profit-sharing plan with pharmaceutical companies. $300 million check just written to them. How much went to Fauci? We don't know. He doesn't have to tell us, and he refuses to. That's the money we know about. Just this week, they are demanding more boosters of modified RNA be shot into the arms of kids. Well, and others, but kids. The data for the from their very own data shows that this might save 0 to 1 lives. Might. It will cause between 100,000 and 200,000 adverse events serious enough to hospitalize, some of them including death, which is rather adverse for a lot of people, particularly if they've not had an opportunity to come to the Lord. Oh, and just this past week, we learned about a 7-year-old who had a heart attack and died immediately after being injected. The CDC doesn't care. They're demanding more of these injections as the rest of the world steps back from them. Yes, entire medical practices are conflicted and captured. The money that doctors make conning people into taking these injections is monumental. It can be the difference in a doctor earning $200,000 or $500,000 a year. Not just with these injections, but the entire battery of injections. How am I tying this to speech? Because it's the goal of the government that you never know these things. Even if it's true. And this, we've learned this in the Missouri versus Biden court case, where the Supreme Court has said, yeah, we'll let them keep doing this for now. We'll let them keep censoring you for now. We learned in that case, even when the government knew that people were communicating factual information about these injections, they wanted it shut down. This is a life and death decision. And they can color this up in all sorts of tech speak if that's fun for them. But the fact is this, the Supreme Court would not allow, for now, later they will, but right now they would not allow a government to hire a private company to go in the church pews and say, hey, wait, you just said God created man and woman. You don't get to do that. What exactly is the difference? Oh, well, we're talking about disinformation, misinformation. That's what they're protecting us from. In England, a female rape victim in court testifying about the man who raped her was criticized by the judge up to perhaps being held in contempt of court because she refused to pretend that her rapist was a woman. Disinformation. Supreme Court has to rule on this. The government cannot be allowed to have companies do what it legally can't, which is censor us. Oh, and by the way, the organizations who play intermediaries between the social media firms, they admit the government does not have the right to do what they're doing, so they do it on the behalf of government, a joint state actor. Now, that's bigger news than the felony charges against Hunter Biden, the 3 felonies for firearms, But remember how hard they worked to make sure that we never saw anything to do with the Biden laptop. Censored it, right? Why do I say it's a less big deal? Well, obviously, these are just gun charges. Plus, this is a dance. The dance here is that the government can say, oh, we indicted Hunter Biden. Yeah, for the one thing that doesn't involve his dad. And the corrupt intelligence services, they did not manufacture evidence for the Republicans to use against Biden. So Caitlin Collins on CNN gets to pretend there's no evidence, as she discussed with Representative Nancy Mace.
There are a lot of witnesses out there that saw things that were part of meetings that Joe Biden was a part of, that were part of the transactions that were potentially part of the bribery scheme. I mean, all that evidence the American people should be able to have and see. The American
but so
people
far,
can't,
none of it has risen
well,
to that.
Well, the American people can't see the suspicious activity reports. Those are confidential documents. So any piece of evidence, right or wrong, I want the American people to see all of it, whether it backs us up or does not. The people deserve the truth and nothing but the
truth.
Isn't
it supposed to be the evidence that leads you to pursue impeachment and impeachment inquiry?
Well, that's what the inquiry is for.
But there's already
more
investigations. I think that's where people are confused, because it's not like
there's no investigation. But we don't have Joe Biden's bank records yet. And so one way to do that, my understanding, would be through an impeachment inquiry. So if that's what gets us those bank records, then I'm going to support it. I'm just saying, if you could see what I have seen, and I believe you deserve to see that.
But have you seen direct evidence related to President Biden? Because that's what we have not heard.
Well, we have to connect the dots, and that has to be through the bank records. If his bank records show nothing, the American people should know that too.
Okay, let's be clear. It's not his bank records we need. It's the LLCs. It's the 26 pass-through entities that exist solely to launder money, in my judgment. That's why you set up 26 LLCs. It's the LLC bank records they need. And furthermore, we don't have direct evidence. We do. We have the countries saying this is what we're buying from the Biden family. And we have Hunter Biden saying we're the very, very best at this. And they had a joint bank account, something we found out when Hunter accidentally overpaid a prostitute and the Secret Service was called in. Joe and Hunter had a joint bank account. Now, former Congressman Tulsi Gabbard, who volunteered to serve after 9/11/2001, has either had a true and real change of heart or she's playing a great game of pretend.
It was also insulting to hear in the speech that he delivered during that fuel stop in Alaska, him lecturing the American people about how it is our responsibility that we must take seriously to defend democracy. And he is saying these words, lecturing us as he and his administration every step of the way are undermining our own democracy, both by his politicizing the Department of Justice to go after Donald Trump, his major political opponent in this upcoming presidential election, his going after and changing the rules of the DNC to make it so people who vote for RFK Jr., their votes won't actually count. He is sending his Department of Justice after parents who are trying to stand up for their right to their children's education. The list goes on and on, directing the FBI to censor people by working through big tech. The way that he and his administration are undermining our democracy and our freedoms and our Constitution, it's a slap in the face for him to try to lecture us when he is doing the exact opposite.
And I could play the tape, but I won't, because I don't want to hear his voice this morning. Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin, the dictator of Russia, gets to lecture us. He does. He gets to point out that through Biden and the DOJ and the FBI, America has to some degree lost our moral standing, because we are the ones now going after political opponents. And it's not just on the right. It's also happening on the right. If you've not been keeping up to date with what's been going on in Texas, we may play some of that today. It is a true witch hunt after Ken Paxton. How can I say that assuredly? Because the prosecutors have literally, I'm not saying this like the teens do, like I literally can't even. I'm saying in an actual literal sense, in an impeachment proceeding, they have presented no evidence. And they've been forced time and again to admit we don't have any. And yet they've impeached the sitting attorney general of the state of Texas. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. More to come. Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Appreciate you choosing to listen to this. And I guess when I started in radio, I never thought I would, well, first of all, be doing a show called The Disciples View. I didn't understand what it was to be discipled. I also didn't think we would cover the type of topics that we do. And one of the topics that I turn to a lot, because I believe this is just a major attack on, well, I mean, God's creation, God's masterpiece, us. And I want to recognize that there are people who need, well, some medication. But there is no chance that 90 million to 100 million Americans need to have antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds. That's not possible. The pushing of these things is so profound. And look, I'm talking from a perspective of a very, very painful experience. We went through an enormously frightening time. And I regard it as traumatic. Friends of mine who suffer PTSD from combat tell me, hey, Todd, you have PTSD from what you and your family went through. And in the midst of that, in a time where I was in an attempt to rescue my daughter, and which turned into, more properly said, changing our family dynamic, we were spending $30,000 a month. Every month, I would write a check for $30,000. This went on for 13 months. And that was the minimum, because often there were extra expenses for travel, et cetera. And this had to do in a time where we were involved in teen and family adolescent mental health at a treatment facility. It's a horrible thing to admit. And God has done such miraculous work with our daughter. I'm so proud of her. And so very thankful for the work he's done. But in that process, in the midst of writing these checks and this pressure, and I made the decision to put her on some pills. And this is a cost my wife bears more than I. Because my wife is the person who is taking her off the pills. But pharma doesn't give you step-down kits. They don't help people step down from this stuff. And they don't do that, in my judgment, quite on purpose, because they don't want people to come off of it. So the consequence is several times at the week, my wife goes into the bathroom and she uses a jeweler's scale and a tiny little file to shave off little pieces of the pills. To weigh them on a jeweler scale. So that's how she steps her down. Out of the capsules, those are the ones with the little tiny dots inside. She can take about one dot out. I'd have to ask her, but I think it's every 6 months. One dot. Out of hundreds of dots of so-called medicine in there. And our daughter can tell. One missing dot. And she can tell. And my wife has been doing this now for 2.5 years, 3 years. And she's gotten her completely off one med. So I'm, trust me, when I'm speaking about this, I'm not speaking from a perspective of accusation of others. I am sharing from a huge perspective of pain, because these drugs are also very dangerous. There's also this, and this never made enough news, that about a year ago, there was a report that came out that there is no such thing as a serotonin reuptake problem. It doesn't exist. This was a pharma fabrication. So a lot of the so-called rationale for these pills was based upon the junkiest of junk science. Now, the reason I'm talking about this is I was once again reminded from a post from a doctor named Dr. Roger McPhillan. And he points to some of the statistics, some of the data. If you look at global antidepressants users per 1,000 people, Korea is at the bottom, 13 per thousand. Chile, 13. To get to the middle areas, Norway, 58. Up near the top, the United Kingdom, 71. Canada's at 86. There's the United States of America, 110 per 1,000 people on these SSRI prescriptions. And this is apparently specifically SSRI. And there is a drive to get other pills approved for injection through government largesse. The government will pay for this. Now, there are so many aspects to this. Spiritually, it's my belief that this is due to the fact that people are living in the world and being of the world. Not just living in it, but becoming of it. And becoming of it is going to, well, it's going to depress you. Because being of the world creates a huge separation between one and God. Because as people become of the world, they start to love the world. And it's one thing to respect the world that God has created, to steward the world, to live in it, but we know that we're not to be of it. And we also know that we can serve one master. And there are many people who serve the world. And at the risk of not having a relationship with God. You can combine this to many things that folks who fancy themselves secular think about. And they do have a secular mindset, but they're not secular creations because nothing is secular because God created everything. And they'll point to social media usage. Yeah, that's the world. It's fake. It provides the illusion of friendship, the illusion of connection. But it is not a connection. I liken it, and I know that this is a little bit blunt, but I liken it to men who go to watch women take their clothes off. Strippers, they're called. I say they're women who take their clothes off for money. Otherwise, you're giving an identity. Because someone can say, I am a stripper. And I would say, no, you're created by God. You're not. That's not what you are. That's what you're doing. It's not what you are. So I try to avoid labels like that. It provides the illusion of what? For these men. The illusion that these women care for you? So you leave the place more depressed, I would assume. You leave the place more depressed. Now, this is a depressing topic. I don't mean to get us depressed. I would also point out that we talk about the show seeing one problem and one solution. Well, the problem is the sin problem. The solution is to repent of our sins, which involves true sadness. Repentance comes with sorrow, that you have hurt God and that you have caused a separation between you and God, clearly to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to be baptized in his name, the Holy Spirit's name of the Father, and then to go about abiding in Christ and agreeing to be changed by him. And it lifts people. It does. And in this country of relative wealth, which is a lot of it pretends, but it is relative wealth is huge. There is a need I think we have as people who walk with the Lord to be able to speak secular. And again, I stress there's no such thing as a secular creation, but to speak it. And there are opportunities to do this that abound. One of them is in the culture, the popular culture and music, movies. So often movies have these themes that are purely Christian themes, purely biblical themes. And yet we don't go around watching movies with people we don't know, but we will run into music around people we don't know. So I'm thinking of starting a feature. This is the second time we've done this. I know it's controversial on this network to play secular music, and I understand why, and I respect it. I've been through my playlist taking out some of the terrible secular music that's on my playlist, on my iPhone, iTunes, whatever. Because I don't want it in my mind. I don't want to be exposed to it. So as it comes up, I have to delete that one. I play this not to celebrate the artist, because the artist has written some of the most vile music. But she's a young girl. She's a kid. And God has blessed her with enormous talent. This song, I didn't mean to hear this song. This song just came on, and it is heartbreaking. And again, please don't go out and search the rest of this lady's music. It's some of it is utterly vile. Her name is Billie Eilish, and this is a song called What Was I Made For? I mean, already the opportunity to share the gospel abounds just with the title. What Was I Made For? I used to float.
Now I just fall.
Now I just fall.
I used to know.
I used to know.
But I'm not sure.
But I'm not sure now.
What I was made for.
What I was made for.
What was I made for? Taking a drive. I was an ideal. Not so.
Taking a drive, looks so alive. Turns out I'm not real. Just something you paid for. What was I made for? I don't know how to feel. Try.
I don't know how to feel, but someday
I don't know how to feel, but someday I want to.
Someday
I might. So the opportunities abound. My heart just breaks for Billie Eilish. And perhaps that's the purpose of the song. Perhaps it's just manipulation. Perhaps it's record sales. Well, I didn't buy a copy of the song. I don't want to give Billie Eilish my money. She doesn't need any. It's not what she needs. So in this world of antidepressants, and in this world of far too many people on those antidepressants, and the fact that China makes those antidepressants, 90% of them, Just think of the national security implications. What China says, hey, we're not going to make those anymore starting now. Or they decide to poison them further. I mean, the national security implications, the human implications are incredible. But if I were to sit with Billie Eilish and she would allow me to speak into her life, I'm a man in my mid-50s. I can't minister to the girl. But I would say, Billie, we were designed for perfection. To walk with God, what were we made for? To exist hand in hand with God Almighty. In His kingdom. To ask Him any question. Such as, Lord, why did you make me? But Billie, the answer is in front of you. The Lord made you because He loves you. He didn't make you to defile yourself. And I'm thinking of some of your music, Billie. Some of the videos. God wants you to be His daughter. You're not. You've divorced yourself from the family. But that's not what God wants. In biblical history, there have been many, many strong women. And Billie, sharing yourself sexually is not strength. Not in the way you exploded. You say it in your own song. I'm just something you paid for. What God would want and what you're made for is to glorify him. And that sounds odd to you, I'm sure. To glorify him. And in so doing, to return to the perfection with which you were created, for which you were created. Before you were born, he counted every single hair on your head. Before you took a breath, he knew how many you would take. I hear in your song, and perhaps it's manipulation. If so, well done. You have manipulated me. But if what you're actually asking is truly sincere, Billy, then I would suggest to you that the answer is, and I hate to say it this way, given your videos, on your knees, praying to a God who would never defile you, who has no need to use you because he doesn't need you. He loves you. You were made to be his daughter, the daughter of the King Most High. He's calling you. I hope that you will answer. We'll come back with the Tower of Babbling, celebrating God putting these fake leaders on towers of sand. This is The Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to the Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I enjoyed that that piece about the Wildman family. That was very cool. You guys are part of an important network as listeners and financial supporters to make it uncancelable. And what vision God gave the Wildman family? I'm doing this because Tim's the boss. I'm doing this because I heard that, and it's just a reminder of the power of 182 radio stations. And the thing about live radio is people glance by it. You said this wild, probably completely untrue pipe dream. It's just stupid. In our last segment, we did this. I'm thinking of creating a feature called Speaking Secular, which is opportunities to take modern culture and use it to teach people about the will of God, the word of God, to share the gospel, in other words. I just had this stupid vision. We played a Billie Eilish song, and most of her music, well, 99% of it is horrifically vile. And yet this song, What Was I Made For?, is a perfect opportunity to say, well, here's what God says you were made for. I just had this stupid image of her on tour, popping into a hotel room and turning on radio, and boom. She goes, what? They're playing my song on a Christian network? What's this about? And then just maybe Father God speaking into her. That's the magic of live radio. And in that last segment, we also talked about, I mentioned my decision to never ascribe to a human being an identity other than a positive one or one that is godly. Here's what I mean. I mentioned in the last segment, I was making this comparison of social media to women who take their clothes off for money, which the world wants us to call them strippers. And that's an identity. And I was talking about this in terms of fake happiness and fake fulfillment, that it'd be my guess that men who go into those places go in depressed and come out more depressed. And that phrase stripper, I won't use it. I say women who take their clothes off for money. The world says porn star. I say, no, women and men who have sex on film for money. And it's not to use explicit language. It's not bluntness. It's accuracy. We are created by God. We're created in his image. That's the ultimate identity. But what the sexual left has done, and to that matter, leftist politicians, have done is they have recrafted identity into something shrill and meaningless. Black. It's not meaningless to be a black person. It is part of who you are, but this has been made into the identity. What are you? I'm black. Rather than I am created by God Most High in His image, given talents to steward, friendships from which to benefit, a gospel to share. I am a father. I am a son. I am a brother and a sister. I am a person learned in the following and trained to do the following. That is a strong base, hard to knock over. And the Lord Jesus tells us a wise person builds his house, of course, on rock, not on sand. That's a hard thing to knock over, to be toppled. But when you say, what are you? I'm black. You're one thing. So easy to manipulate. It's like creating a spiritual version of a single-issue voter. I am so-called trans, which doesn't exist, but that's what I am. I am gay. Well, in saying you're gay, what are you talking about? You're talking about an activity or a point of view, a feeling. I'm a man attracted to other men. Okay, that's something you feel. It can be something you act upon, but it's not who you are. Black is a shade of your skin. It is not who you are. And to create fragile identities is a brilliant and deeply cynical move. To make people more manipulable. That's why the sexual left loves it. So when you hear me use phrases like men attracted to men, or women, men who think they're women, or people who have sex on film for money. I'm not trying to complicate things. I'm trying to decomplicate, to be accurate. I hope that makes sense. We do a feature here for a very specific purpose, and that is because God told the Jewish people to disperse and cover the earth, and they refused. Instead, they began building a tower, a monument, you might say, to their own pride. So God scrambled their language. Today, I believe God has placed the so-called wise on like towers of sand, where the simple things shame them, and we praise God with the Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
So there's three stories usually in the Tower of Babbling, and this one requires just a little bit of context. We have our Supreme Court, a person who doesn't know if she's a woman, but she might be, but she knows she's black, although I don't know how you can know that. If you don't know you're a woman, how can you know you're black? You remember who I'm talking about, a Supreme Court justice who said famously, I'm not a biologist. I don't know what a woman is. Beats me. Well, how do you know you're black? What are you, some kind of sociologist? what are you, some kind of expert in DNA? So I say that because it was expressed by the people who run Joe Biden, and he was caused to say, by the way, that's more, I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm trying to be accurate. That man's not running anything. This person was put on our court because they decided that she is a woman, and she is black. That's expressly why she was there. Now, is that a danger, do you think, to people being able to trust the Supreme Court? It is to me, because her intellectual rigor was not at the forefront or the second front or the third or fourth or fifth front of their analysis. It was a shrill, tiny piece of her identity. But now, according to MSNBC, what is the most destructive force in the American judiciary system?
I want this to be really clear. There has not been a more destructive force in the American jurisprudence in the last 30 years than Clarence Thomas's wife. They are the most destructive force in American jurisprudence. Those two together, they form like a Voltron of evil.
Any Supreme Court justice's spouse will have some influence over them. And Clarence Thomas, this radical, dangerously radical man, took a look at the Roe versus Wade decision and said, hey, a court invented this. Therefore, a court can uninvent it. Dangerously radical. And Ginny Thomas, and I don't want to freak you out. I don't want to cause you alarm. Ginny Thomas has doubts about our election integrity. I know. Pure evil. to doubt the election integrity of a country where we don't check signatures for actual verification, where ballots can be counted after, if they arrive after the election, they can still be counted. We don't check voter ID, where in fact, I was in line at a drugstore the other day because the FDA is busily outlawing Benadryl, which I have to use sometimes. They haven't done it yet, but they're signaling they intend to outlaw Benadryl and Tylenol, sinus, because it doesn't work. They're deeply concerned about that. The truth is they want you to have to take a pharmaceutical prescription for this. And I'm in line, and there was a lady purchasing a pre-purchased or a cell phone, one of those little junk phones. She said, well, this is for my son. He's visiting. They said, no, sorry, we need ID. So she had to use her driver's license to purchase the phone. More security on that than voting. But yes, MSNBC, the biggest problem is Ginny Thomas questioning the integrity of her election. Story number two in the Tower of Babbling. And I just have to announce to America, we're going to have to undertake some major changes to make this man feel safe.
So I just moved to the suburbs from San Francisco. Everything looks a little bit pale orange because California is on fire. So that's that. But what really makes me feel unsafe here is the vast amount of American flags I see. Like, I walked around like a 3, 4, 5 block radius. And I saw so many American flags, and that makes me feel so unsafe. Like, I'm afraid for the people here.
Okay, well, that's certainly something to fear, is a cloth. In fact, a cloth that represents a country that heretofore has allowed free speech and free thought. Incidentally, if you just left here from San Francisco, did you ever feel unsafe around the people that your city has allowed to roam the streets like zombies in a city where it is legal, functionally legal, to steal $999 worth of stuff as long as it's not $1,000, where overdoses are at record highs? In fact, this just came out of a very similar city, Seattle. 25% of the buses and choo-choo trains there have fentanyl and meth on the surface of the seats. Very little fentanyl can kill you. It's also in the air. But yes, those American flags. So maybe in our third story here in the Tower of Babbling, maybe that man would feel safer living under the dictator of New Mexico.
The New Mexico Constitution, I looked last night, Article 2, Section 6 says this, quote, no law shall abridge the right of citizens to keep and bear arms for security and defense. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. Are you not in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and your state's constitution?
I don't believe that we are. And if that narrow reading of the Constitution, which has been tested in the state, we wouldn't have universal background checks. We wouldn't have a waiting period. We wouldn't have a red flag law. We wouldn't have prohibitions for straw purchases. None of those would have been deemed constitutional. And today, all of them are.
Okay, those things are nothing like saying to people who have jumped through those unconstitutional hoops. Because at the federal level, those things have been overturned in other states. That's not like saying, hey, I know you jumped through those hoops, but we're going to go ahead and force you to stop carrying your guns. Goodness gracious, how God uses the simple things to shame the wise. And that's the three stories in the Tower of Babbling. I just share with you something semi-personal. And it's about listening. It's about listening to God. If I'm not doing this or with my family or in church, I'm in a gym because I'm a fitness fanatic. And it is the fitness is it is my hunting, it is my fishing, it is my golfing, it is my travel, it is my man cave. That's it for me. That's my pursuit. If it's not reading, right, that's my pursuit. It's how I care for me. And I happen to just have this overwhelming sense upon leaving the gym that someone needed prayer. Overwhelming. And normally I would just pray. But God said, tell her. I can't do that. This is something, it's a sense. And I went on a run. On Thursdays, I do two workouts. I do one in the morning, one in the afternoon. And I was on my run. And God hammered me. You will tell her. And so I got to where I was going. And I got out my phone and I wrote and said, this is weird. Forgive me. God told me to pray for you. Normally I would just pray, but he told me to tell you. I have a sense of spiritual danger. She wrote back and said, it's not weird. Thank you for following through and telling me. Pray for me. I am right now praying for that person. I would ask you to pray for Todd's friend. I would ask you to pray. When God speaks, we listen and we act. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Because we believe, we speak. And because he first loved us, we speak his word. We walk in the path of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. Until you and I speak again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you. Thank you for listening to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. God be with you all.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.